gmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. We are here Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening. 10:30 is a rebroadcast over on WWBC 1510 AM and on WMIEFM.com. You can listen whatever time you would like, as long as it's after the initial broadcast. Outside of that, you can click on the Listen on Demand feature down at the bottom. You have access there to every program that is available in their archives. And, you know, whenever I come in, you know, Paul, all of these programs are saved, but there's limited computer space. And so every once in a while I have to bring in a hard drive and stuff like that in order to download or back up all of those programs. And he says, boy, you have a lot of programs. We are now in between, we finished 7 years and we're now into our eighth year of broadcasting, 5 days a week, 30-minute broadcast every Monday through Friday. And we want to thank you for sticking with us through all of this time as we continue to bring a word that will hopefully build you up and lift you up so that you will pursue the will of God, so that you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. One of the companies that we have done business with for quite some time is Creative AC Solutions. Their phone number is 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. And their territory is pretty much right in central Brevard County. They don't go to Palm Bay and Titusville and you know, the further boundaries. They're primarily based right here in central Brevard County. But if you have any air conditioning or heater needs, you can call them, 321-759-3284. They work on all types of units. They have decades and decades and decades of experience of working on air conditioners, air handlers, package units, micro split systems, and systems that are so big I don't even know what terminology you would use to describe how large of systems they've worked on. Again, they do a great job, and they do love Jesus. So 321-759-3284. Tell Bill you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. So tonight we are going to be at church, 7 o'clock, and one of the things that we have been talking about is that none should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. That's the will of God. We're going to look back at the will of God today in John chapter 6, where we had talked about in verse number 24, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into the boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. There are a lot of people who seek Jesus for the wrong reasons. And you would think that seeking Jesus for any reason would result in it being the right reason, but it doesn't necessarily work out that way. We need to elevate our priorities and our understanding so that we seek him. We can't just seek him because he is the source of this bread of heaven. He is the bread of heaven. And you know, we talked about yesterday, they said, we want you to give that bread to us all the time. all the time. Now, the thing that they talked about was, well, Moses gave our forefathers manna in the wilderness for 40 years. For 40 years. 6 days a week. On the sixth day, there was double provision from God so that they could honor the Lord on the Sabbath. And for 40 years of God miraculously providing in the wilderness, they murmured and complained against him, against Moses, repeatedly, often. And they complained. They said, all we have to eat is this manna. What is manna? Literally means, what is it? That's the meaning of the word. They didn't know what to do with it. Moses had to explain to them what was going on, and they said, all we have to eat is this manna. You know, there's a lot of people in church, and they don't want to hear what has already been taught, but, you know, Jesus is the word. I mean, if we're not here to preach so that people are enamored with our vocabulary, with our speaking capabilities. We're not here for entertainment value. We are here for spiritual transformation. And the only way that that happens is when God's will becomes superior to our will. So we picked up in verse number 38 is where we ended yesterday. So I'm going to start reading today at verse number 34 just for context. And it said, then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one whom comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That brings us to verse number 39. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So we begin to see here where the will of God is explained to these people, and he said, the will of the Father as it pertains to me is this, that everything he gives to me, I don't lose it. I don't lose it. And that I raise it up at the last day. Can I let you know that God has no intention of you being lost. If you choose not to go to heaven, it will literally be over his dead and resurrected body. It will be against every prayer of intercession that he ever prayed on your behalf. Don't choose the lowest quality of life. Choose the will of the Father. And say this, God, whatever you give me, whatever word you give me, whatever revelation you bring in my life, whatever relationship you bring in, I don't want to lose any of those things. I want to raise them up. There are a lot of people who, when it comes to other people, their preferred method of dealing with them is to suppress them, to push them down, to keep them beat down and defeated. But Jesus is not interested in oppressing you. He is interested in raising you up, saving you, raising you up. And you and I have a part to play in this. He goes on in verse number 40, and he says, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So there's the raising up at the last day again, but let's look at what he says, that you and I first have to see him. We have to have our eyes opened. We need the any veil that is obscuring our vision removed so that we can see Jesus for who he is, the Son of God. He is holy. He is the one who bears the name that is above every name. He is the one that at the mention of that name, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are not talking about just a little baby born in a manger. We are talking about the omnipotent King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are talking about he who was and is to come. We're talking about one whose eyes are burning with holy fire, whose feet are quick to move forth in the paths of righteousness. He's holy. And the reality is, if we do not elevate our lifestyle, change our lifestyle, allow God to resurrect our lifestyle, it is because our vision of who he is an insufficient vision of who he is. If we refuse to change after seeing him, then we need to say, God, would you give me a better sight of who you are, a better understanding, better wisdom? Because the Bible says that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Anybody who sees Jesus for who he is wants to become like him, not just in heaven, but wants to be like him here on earth. That's the reality. If you have a prayer time, you go forth and you say the sinner's prayer, and you get up and you go out and do all of the same stuff you were doing before, your revelation of who Jesus was needs a refresher course. Okay? And everyone who sees the Son must believe in him. You got to believe in Jesus. Okay? The only hope for America right now is Jesus. Believe in Jesus. The only hope for the economy is to believe in Jesus. The only hope for eternity is for you to believe in Jesus. And that's where we're going with this. We're not going to be touching on every verse of John chapter 6, but we're trying. Our goal is to get to the place that the Jesus that you and I are seeking is the only source, not just for a temporary blessing, not even for an eternal blessing, but we're seeking him for who he is. We have to believe in him. I don't just want to utilize my faith for tangible goods. I want to use my faith for kingdom growth. And my faith is not faith in my faith. My faith is in the one who gave me my faith. God has given to every one of us the measure of faith. What have you done with your faith? What are you doing with your faith? Do you have faith in Jesus? Okay. A lot of people hear things that God has to say, and they say there's no way that could ever come to pass. Well, I want to remind you, nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is too hard for God. We serve a miracle-working God. And so he intends to for us to see him. He intends for us to believe in him. He intends for you to have everlasting life. Everlasting life. To not only be believing in him, but to be living in him, not just for a season, but thriving over and over again. And once again, he says that he would raise us up at the last day. In verse number 41, it says, the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Okay? And so they started looking around and they said, wait a minute, we understand some things about him. We know his father. We know his mother. How is it that he says that he came down from heaven? Well, maybe if they knew his mother, they could go and ask her, what can you tell us about your son? And she could tell them all about the things that took place 30-some years earlier when an angel visited her and changed the path of her life, and how angels came and brought shepherds and wise men, and that everything that they told her when they came and worshiped that little baby that was born in one of the most obscure places and one of the most oppressed people groups on the planet at the time, how that heaven mobilized a praise and worship service, saying glory to God in the highest. And it says this, she pondered all those things in her heart. Maybe she could tell them about when she went to dedicate that baby in the temple, and there were some people who met her there and prophesied over that child, and she pondered those things. And maybe she could tell him about the trip to the temple when he was 12 years old and how he said, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? You know, sometimes what we know, you know, and I'll put double air quotes around that, hinders us from knowing God to the fullest. Well, you know, I know this, and I'm not here to give you spiritual platitudes. Here's a personal confession. I hate spiritual platitudes. You know, people who have this Facebook meme type of understanding of the Word of God, and when you're going through something and they're not, all of a sudden they bring out this platitude, and it's a platitude everybody knows, and they know that you know it, except for when they're going through something, they don't remember the platitude themselves. I want to know him. Paul said, I want to know him in the power of the resurrection. I want to know him from the worst to the greatest experiences that he went through. And so let's not use our knowledge as a blockade that prevents us from knowing him to the fullness. When I was in high school chemistry, our teacher said, the more I know that I don't know. And so I've never had a problem telling someone I don't know. In fact, I've got a person that whenever they ask me a question, and if I don't know the answer, I say, I don't know the answer to that. And then they ask me another question. I say, well, I don't know. These aren't spiritual questions or anything like that. They're just questions. And they said, well, what do you know? And I, you know, I'll tell them what I do know, but, you know, I don't know everything. The older I get, you know, the more particular I become in the things that I do know. So there are things that I have culled from my life like a bad crop to make room for things that I do want to know, because I'm seeking Jesus. And So don't put a blockade up that prevents you from knowing God to an even fuller capacity. I pray that you know him more today than you did yesterday. Grab the Word of God, refresh yourself in the Word of God, and say, God, show me something in your Word that I have either overlooked, I've not seen. Show me what I need to know for what is going on today. In verse number 47, it says, this is Jesus speaking, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Okay? That's not just life in the future. That is life that begins right now. He says in verse number 48, I am the bread of life. Okay? So he has said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of God. I am the bread which came down from heaven. And now for the fourth time, he says, I am the bread of life. And I wonder how many times does God have to say things to us before we understand he really means it. He really means it. He said, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread that which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. One of the things that we do at Merit Assembly of God is we celebrate communion. We don't celebrate it every week. We celebrate it the first Sunday of every month. We celebrate it at Christmas time, and whenever else we feel led by the Lord that there's something special that he wants to do. And so there are two elements to communion. We call it the ordinances of the church. They are sacred rites of the church. One is communion. The other is baptism. Baptism, we identify with the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The baptism method that we use is the immersion, where you are completely enveloped in water. It's not just a little dab will do you. It is, I identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't, hold you under and count to 10 or anything like that. It's an identification. It is a public statement that the person being baptized is making that says this: my old life has died. I am identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ, and going forth, I want to live in the resurrection power of Christ Jesus. That's what it is about. The term immersion is the word that they would use whenever they were dyeing a fabric, a baptizo. They would take it and they would immerse a garment in this colored dye, and it would come up looking different, and it would be forever changed. So the other is communion. Now, communion has the two elements, and so I'm going to talk about the last first and then the first last. The first that I want to talk to you about is the juice. We do not use fermented wine. We use grape juice. That grape juice symbolizes the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shed it to wash away our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Okay. Thankfully for Jesus, I don't have to shed my blood to pay for my sins. He paid for my sins. He paid for your sins. Okay. That's what that is about. That's the most important part. Salvation is the ultimate goal. We seek Jesus. He is the Savior of the world. Jesus means God who saves. God saves. He's still in the salvation business. And so we celebrate what he's done in our life. We celebrate what he's done in other people's life. And we also celebrate what he's going to continue to do up until his return. Okay. The second element of communion is the bread. And it symbolizes the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is what he is talking about here. I am the bread that I shall, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. His body was broken so that our bodies could be made whole. We believe in healing. We believe in divine healing. But that doesn't mean that we're exclusive of medical care. That's not what it means at all. You know, thank God for the technology and the wisdom that he's given to medical professionals, the facilities that he's given. We believe in all of that. But we also believe that where man falls short at times, God will not. And so Jesus identifies his flesh as the broken bread. In the Old Testament, it says, by his stripes you are healed. Now, that's the Old Testament. That's the prophecy. By his stripes you are healed. It was the whip that they laced his back with that caused his body to be rendered unrecognizable. He says, by those stripes you are healed. In the New Testament, in Peter's epistles, it says, by his stripes you were healed. Okay? I want you to know that the price has already been paid. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for everything that Jesus did in relationship to the will of the Father, in that he came to pay for my sins, but he also came so that the life that I live is an abundant life. It is rivers of living water flowing outside of us. It is everlasting life. It is the life of the redeemed and the life of the healed, the life of those who are made whole and equipped until he comes again. God bless you. I pray that you'll seek Jesus today and all he has.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Saturday. I am your daughter's favorite teacher. I'm the leader of the band. I sit behind you in the bleachers. I am every man. I'm the coach of every winning team.